Street Chess motherfucking podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Champs motherfucking podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it could be, hopefully it's what it should be. This is your boy N.O.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Military Crazy War Radio, Drink Champs Yappy Hour, Drink Champs Poppy Hour. This is all type of things. This is going down, make some noise! Now again, I say this to my partner all the time, because when we started this show, we said we wanted to cover legends. We wanted to cover people who've been out here sacrificing, putting the culture first, putting the culture on their back. When you think of this man, he's a part of one of the most legendary families in hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
Part of one of the most legendary groups in hip hop. He got about three different careers. Shit is amazing. You know what I mean?
Just three? I think it's more than
it's
three.
Like, he might be seven. But you just look at all the diversity he has done. You look at how he's out here relevant in so many different worlds, from touring with Lionel Richie to, you know what I'm saying, to recording with DJ Khaled the other day when I was there. I actually got the witness. If you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, we're talking about the legendary CeeLo Green. Now, we want to take it from the beginning, because you guys are part of the rich history of the South.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Not only just ATL, I want to broaden the view, because at first, us coming from New York, we looked at the South and really like Miami at the forefront because of, you know, you guys and like what Uncle Luke was doing. So let's take it from the beginning. How did you get started just in music, period?
Is it Goody Mob before Dungeon Family, or Dungeon Family then Goody Mob?
Yeah.
Initially, we considered everyone in the Goody Mob. Goody Mob was a street name.
Mm-hmm.
An OG from our neighborhood. His name is Big Glenn. We called him Big Duddy. He was the one that coined the name Goody Mob.
Oh, wow.
So it was a crew. Cujo was a part of that crew.
Mm.
So what they would do was, you know, put their goods in the Crown Royal bags, the little purple bags.
Yeah, okay.
That was like they flavor or whatever.
Okay.
And, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So it was like goodie bags.
Okay.
So they called themselves the P-Funk Goody Mob.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got the P-Funk Goody Mob.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got to credit them. You know what I'm saying? Like, as the originator of the name.
Okay.
You know, and then that eventually evolved over into the art form. You know, of where Cujo and Timo from Goody Mob. They began as a local group called the Lumberjacks.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And Big Gip, he was a part of another crew called the East Point Chain Gang, including Cool Breeze. So Cool Breeze is the gentleman that coined the phrase Dirty South.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So when you
Before
anybody, he's the first one.
Wow.
So when you look at the history, if you go back, that Soul Food album, it was kind of broken up into working parts. Lumberjacks could not put any of their prior recorded music on that album because they were going through litigations with former management. I was a solo artist, singer, thug slash fucking, MC, all of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
Goody Mob was kind of really a collective.
It was a collective. Mm. So like it was such a strong entity and a strong presence and namesake in the city that, you know what I mean, like it was natural for everybody to kind of assume it, you know what I mean, like because of the association.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody was kind of coming from different places, you know what I mean? Andre and Twan, like, right. Antoine is Big Boy's real name.
Okay.
Let me try to just pace myself. I'm excited to be here.
No, we're excited to have you here.
I probably didn't smoke too much.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, you have your own, bro.
And drink what you drink.
Yeah, please. Because I don't know if you smoke tobacco. I smoke blunts and shit like that. I'm still old school. Yeah, I'll help you. Come on, Marcus.
Get some of that.
Because we don't, that's some different shit right there.
I ain't gonna front.
Let me tell you about you. As you drink tequila and you just act normal as shit. Like, most people drink tequila and then be like, you know, they speak slur. Like, no, I see him drink tequila and be normal.
Like that, when they drink it like that, they're usually good.
And be normal. Shout out to 2020 and Nine Lives Collectives. We got the Smoke Champs coming out with them very soon.
Real soon. Right.
Yes, Smoke Champs coming out with them very soon. Hey, you want a lighter too?
Yeah.
Give him a lighter, because I remember me and Birdman just fighting for a goddamn lighter the whole goddamn episode. It was great. I don't know if you peeped that. Me and Birdman, we just kept.
All right, so this that vanilla, I'm going to try this out.
Yeah. If you need another flavor, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Also, pick up the shine. We got, you know, smoking out of those right now. But listen, where were we at?
Okay, so let's go back.
Okay.
Really quick, just for my knowledge, because I'm a big fan of everything y'all done.
Right.
So, Goody Mob is before Dungeon Family, or it's all happening at the same time?
It was all happening at the same time, almost, you know, pretty much simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, Organized Noise, Rico Wade, Sleepy Brown, Ray Murray. Sleepy Brown and Rico Way were part of a dance troupe called Guess. See, back then, the sensation in the city was talent shows. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it was really like real old school. This was before Gunplay and all of that. So it was talent shows, and it was rival high schools and big park fights. Mm. So we went to Benjamin E. Mays High School. Mm. And our rival high school was Douglas High, Frederick Douglass High.
Wow.
So, like, you know, after the football game or whatever, let me say, like, it would be like the movie Outsiders. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like a real old-fashioned Rumble type shit.
Okay.
So they went from that. So Rico Wade and Sleepy Brown, they were like, you know, neighborhood, they were ghetto superstars for being dancers. Right. And then they eventually, you know, like, went over to production. I actually got one of the original Dungeon Family, first generation here.
Right.
You know, Sir Kawan Prather, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Ghetto Vision, Discover T.I., all of that. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, it's so much to the story.
So, the Dungeon Family house, right? That house, a legendary house, is that where all the music started from? Because didn't Big Boy just buy that house or something like that?
Big Boy just recently purchased the house. Okay. It's being completely overdone and renovated.
Wow.
And, you know, we were kind of like in the talks with another little upstart company that's doing, it's called Hip Hop Tours of Atlanta. I'm not sure if the business is going to work out, but they were doing tours, you know. So
I'm trying to keep it like
a historic monument.
I thought when he bought it, he was going to try to.
Nah, keep it as a monument. Like, we was talking about all kinds of
things. Which it should be.
Like Martin Luther King House in Atlanta.
You
know,
like,
okay.
Absolutely. Podcast out there or something like
that. Yeah, that's hard. I didn't even think of that. That's hard. You know,
So I'm gonna try to fast forward, try to make it all make sense.
Actually, I messed up because what I really meant was Organized Noise before Goody Mob. That's really what I meant.
Now, Organized Noise is the producers?
The production company, the production crew.
Okay.
People knew them, but it's because they were dancers. They were part of a dance group called Guess.
You know
what I'm saying? So they was like,
they were like, kid and play out here.
Damn near.
Okay, so
it was crap. It was like five or six of them in the group, right? Something like that. You know what I mean? So they was dancers, and that was the thing. You know what I mean? Like, either you could dance, you could dress, or you could fight. That was it. You know what I'm saying? You could play sports or whatever.
Now, let me bounce around for a little bit. So was Southern Catalytic Playlistic Music
Outcast's album.
That like the first gem where, like, now the South is being viewed, or it still was like hard after that? Because, like, let me just explain. Like, for us, Queens was having a hard time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when Nas came out with Illmatic, for those couple of years, it was like, it was cool because it was like we proved ourselves.
Let me segue me from being from Miami.
Right.
Like, we had this thing where we wanted to represent ourselves lyrically out of Miami on some hip hop shit.
Okay, right.
So we had like an artist named Mother Superior. She got shelved by Island Music.
Right.
We had different artists, and we could never really represent ourselves lyrically. And I felt like Outkast, that album was that for Atlanta.
For Atlanta.
I mean, that's what it looked like to me.
But see, there was a time with Atlanta where they called Atlanta Little Miami.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
with the MC Shaggy's, the Gucci Crew, the whole we had that synergy between each other. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so
oh shit, I ain't even know this.
You know, Disco Rick, he's still
with Disco Rick, absolutely.
So I think like I'm up right now. I said Atlanta, we're like a midway point, you know, literally between, you know, Florida, the bottom of it, you know, and
yeah, we call ourselves the bottom.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So we had both of the influences. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it's a trip how it comes back around full circle, because, you know, what was electro pop or whatever it was considered when African Bambaataa and Soul Sonic Force did it.
Which was bass, really.
Ultimately, we called it skating rink music, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then it ultimately evolved into Miami bass. So it's kind of really all of the same.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but lyrically, you know, we were, obviously, man, like, you know, affected and inspired by East Coast and raw, boom bap, East Coast hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So lyrically, I'm glad that you said that, because I know I'm speaking for myself, but I think a lot of us really felt like our first ones to truly represent lyrically was either 8-Ball or MJG out of Memphis.
Out of Memphis.
And Poison Clan. Like,
yes. JT Money and them.
Poison Clan.
Absolutely. They were the NWA of the South. That's what I said.
Who you said before on Poison Clan? Who you said?
Debonair. Debonair and JT Money.
And they became a group called Home Team as well.
Yeah.
8-Ball.
8-Ball and MJG out of Memphis.
Yeah.
Slaughterhouse, all of that.
So they came out before Outkast?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know that. For some reason, I thought that was at the same time. What year is that, Ash?
No, they're pioneers of the South.
Wait, before the 91?
No, I think you're before that.
Outkast is what year?
No, I'm talking about like A-Ball and MJG.
93,
94? A-Ball and MJG is late.
Outkast was 94.
Oh, okay, 94, okay. And A-Ball and MJG 91. Oh, okay, damn, bro. I always thought that came out at the same time. So you say, okay. Alright, because for me, that's what I looked at when I seen that album. And even if it's crazy, us even seeing that Puff Daddy directed that first Outkast video.
I didn't even know that. Read it back.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Yeah, the first Outkast video ever, like, produced, ever
in the
directed.
Forest joint?
Yeah, that was Puff Daddy.
Puffy directed Player's Ball.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
I kid you not. I kid you not. Like, I forget, what document.
And that's on the face, right?
Yeah, it was on the face. It was mentioned on the Organized Noise documentary, The Art of Organized Noise, on Netflix.
I watched. It was amazing too. Yeah. I didn't catch that part.
There's a lot of history on there, but it's nowhere near the whole story though.
Right. So, like, I mean, there's very few people in this rap game that have so many like elements to them. Like, when it comes to the crew, like, you guys got Killer Mike. You guys got
It's like the Wu-Tang of the South.
I don't want to say the Wu-Tang, because Wu-Tang is just 9. I mean, what do they call them when it's all of them?
No, but Wu-Tang had all those separate elements.
The Killer Army, the Killer Bees.
Yeah, Sons of Man.
They had Grave Diggers. It's like the same thing.
To me, that's what they were. Dungeon Family was that to us in the South. To me.
How does it feel?
We take that as a compliment.
And did you know that everyone would essentially be stars when your guys was coming up, or
not necessarily? I felt that as far as Atlanta was concerned, we were the most authentic. You know what I mean? Incredible with that first offer in Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music with Outkast. I mean, because, you know, and this is not to discredit those who came before us, whether it be Crisscross, Arrested Development, The Brat, you know what I mean, like Shadi.
Anything so-so does,
all of that,
right.
All of that. I'm saying, feel me? Like, it's all relative. I'm saying, like, but as far as raw rap and lyricism, you know what I mean, and just showing that range, you know, we were the first.
Yeah, no,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree. It's the first that
I felt like we was like the Cold Crush Brothers of the South.
God damn, make some noise for that. God damn. Now, you know, Drink Chats, we're going to just bounce around a little bit. Now, I think last year or the year before, I'm not sure, you had a video that went viral, like, that you was on the phone.
Right.
And everyone was like, what the fuck is going on?
The studio joint?
We was calling you. I had 6 different numbers on you. Yeah. I called everyone. It didn't work. Like, everyone, like... And what exactly happened to the people that didn't see your explanation?
I was working on an independent project, and it was meant to be kind of like a mixtape or an EP, you know, kind of thing of where it was to be held over until we could finish the Gnarls Broccoli record, because we was having scheduling differences. So I called it Gnarly Davidson, right? So it was a part of it, and I said, okay, around the time. It was the Samsung phones, and that was a real thing. That was a real issue. People got
really
blowing
hot, up,
engine, you know what I'm saying?
Catching on fire.
Right, but it was a current event. So I said, okay, let me try to pull from that. And it's like, how do these superheroes come about? You know, by way of some type of trauma, something traumatic happens. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you get hit with a gamma ray, you get bit by a radioactive spider, whatever happens. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm like, all right, so let's use this real life thing and make the video to where it's believable for that however long we can stretch it out and then drop the project.
Well, everybody thought you was really like dead,
because it played out of order.
When
I was sending it to the special effects peoples, we was going through passes. Okay, like turn the smoke up on this or like that. Blah, blah, blah. We was just kind of color correcting and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And one of them leaked, like one of the emails leaked. Right. So, you know, some blog in ATL got hold to it, you know, like, right, and blasted off with it.
Right.
So initially, because it's meant to, I'm thinking I'm doing something, it's a stunt out of, right, just, I'm thinking it's going to be funny to people.
Right.
I'm thinking they're going to know it's ridiculous. Right. It's going to be like, oh, okay, great. But no, people were so, you got to understand, bro, it's a difference between hearing something happen to your people and seeing it.
You're right.
You feel me?
Exactly. You're right.
So with that being, it was funny for the first little while, but my phone was on me. Like, so I got phone calls from everybody from Ice Cube to Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Was Samsung worried? Because that's what everybody's like, get the fuck away from your Samsung phone right now, nigga. Like, niggas is like, Samsung,
oh, man, that's an amazing man, deal. About
you
know,
what's the hell? Like, get
they,
the fuck.
They was hands off. They didn't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I'm sure Samsung was like, please say it wasn't our fault.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so that's what happened, man. So that was Christmas time. Whatever year that was, I think it was like a year or so ago, and then the Grammys didn't play out until that following February. So what it was meant to do was to hit the Friday of the Grammys, you know what I'm saying? Like, I go to the red carpet and boom. I don't know if you saw the other stunt I did where I went and I crashed the Grammys.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, in the
whole
gold
garb. Looking like a transformer from another world.
But can I tell y'all something dope about that fucking whole thing? It didn't work out because, like, you know, the time elapsed. You know what I mean, like, and people just really didn't take too well to being, you know,
right,
you know, like alarmed in that kind of way. Like,
right,
people was really. And the funny thing about it is, I got a chance to see how much love I had out there.
Right.
That's
no,
for sure.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
But the project didn't work, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but what was dope about it, the research was so, you know what I mean?
Invaluable to you,
It worked so well, you know, right, as far as coverage.
Right.
Nori the only one who ain't seen it.
Right, right. Yeah, now I gotta see that. The gold part, yeah, I didn't see that part.
It worked so well with as far as coverage. Marvel Comics reached out to me, and we sat down with their JV division, and we had
to create off of that character.
They wanted to make it an official Marvel comic character.
Wow,
dog! If the deal had went right, I would have been on Endgame.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what happened.
What would have been your name?
The name of it was Gnarly Davidson.
Okay.
But you know, you gotta think Marvel, you gotta think Disney, then you gotta think Harley Davidson. They probably would have had to revise the name. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But you know, what they were saying was
I'm a hero, I wanna be Smoke a Lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sir Smoke-a-Lot.
Just, I solve crimes.
You could be on Game of Thrones.
I solve crimes with smoking ball.
Sir Smoke-a-Lot. Yeah, you might be the mother of dragons.
Sir Smoke-a-Lot from country. It's made out of burning weed and shit. You know what I'm saying?
You
you know how like a smoke.
Dave Chappelle beat you to it already.
No, he ain't got Smoke a Lot. Smoke a Lot was the rapper.
Right.
He wasn't a superhero in Half Baked. I know you're talking about Half Baked. But I'm gonna be the nigga like I'm gonna just walk in. It's gonna be. And then, like, my cake gonna be burning. Like, people wanna think I'm on fire all the time.
I'm smoking.
But it's just smoking.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm fucking shit up.
We regress.
No, but that's crazy.
Yeah,
that you could have been
it's
in Marvel.
It's dope. But what they were saying was it would have been historic because it would have been the first of where a character was based off a real living being.
Wow.
But the trick to that is living beings are prone to liability. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, you know, it's not infallible now. So they couldn't do it. They didn't wanna risk it.
You like the Matt Gallo? I've just been seeing pictures.
The who?
The Matt Gallo?
Gallo, yeah. I
thought you said McDonald's.
Yeah,
like, it's kind of like McDonald's, but not. It's like McDowell's.
No, I see.
to be totally honest, I'm a little ignorant on what it actually on the origin of where it come from.
You know, what is
I've,
that?
I've only
man?
Been seen it the last few years.
It's like a big Halloween party.
Yeah, it's like a Halloween party for the rich.
But it's dope though, because I love to see people. You know what I'm saying? Like, be fly and be individuals, and you know, like, you know, fashion of course is a facet of the art. So I know I like wearing wild shit too. So I like to see people do their thing.
How did you develop that? That's my next question is. Because when you look at the origin from where you, Outkast, Goody Mob, Dungeon Family in general, you guys are from the hood. You guys are from the deep, deep south.
Yeah.
You guys are from the... And but you guys have the ability to make music that brings you to these other genres.
Right.
And you're able to mix with those other crowds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you develop that? Like,
well, to be totally honest, man, like, the... My personal taste, the first thing I ever loved was rock and roll and heavy metal.
Ah.
That's, you know what
same
I'm saying?
Here. I loved rock and roll and heavy
metal.
So we grew
up. Get the fuck out of
here. I talked about it on Drink Chance before. Like Iron Maiden and
Metallica. Shit is coming out now.
Shit is
coming out now. Shit coming out.
I'm glad you started with Iron Maiden because Bruce Dickinson is one of my favorite all-time singers. And favorite friend. Bruce Dickinson, Ronnie James Dio, you know, Rob Halford from fucking Judas Priest.
Def Leppard was dope.
Yeah, we got the same management. I'm friends with all of my rock idols.
But hip hop cats be scared to talk about this shit. I don't know why.
I like Pink Floyd.
Yo.
That's not rock.
Of course it is, man.
I know.
Pink Floyd's like originators of rock.
It's funny you just mentioned Pink Floyd, man. I got a friend of mine who was at the sauna with me in the building, and he showed me a clip of when he was sound checking. I don't know how he got this access, but David Gilmour, you know, was sound checking, and he was playing Crazy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I just got to do that. I'll play it for you afterwards.
To
answer your question, you know what I mean? Like, Gibb had a good answer too. Like, another thing that was big for us when we was kids in Atlanta was wrestling. So, it's a couple of, I love the Road Warriors, the British Bulldogs, the Von Erichs.
Road Warrior or Ultimate Warrior?
Okay. Road Warriors, for me, it was Animal and Hulk.
Okay, all right,
So what I'm, Ric Flair, of course.
Okay,
so what I'm basically saying is that costuming, that pageantry, it was kind of normal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, me on the soulful side, big band side, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Those people put so much into the presentation. You know what I'm saying? So, I thought that was, you know, I felt like that was a standard. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when it speak to you in such a way, I felt like it belonged to me in order to kind of, you know, carry on in tradition, you know, as an artist, right? So then George Clinton christened us the Young Parliament Funkadelic. So that's really the bottom line. He was like, yo, y'all are us. I mean, like...
Was he on acid?
He was on everything.
In my mind, I just felt like he was on acid. I went too far.
Everything.
He's a lot of drugs. But that's beautiful.
But he's a superhero. He survived it all.
All right.
Am I saying it right? I think so, man. Like, you know, so I want to say it all. I mean, like, because I was looking at your line on IG and people was like, oh, shit, about them. It was like, yo, a bunch of dope questions. I said, damn, I want to make sure I nail it.
One of the illest questions that people keep asking was, how does it feel to be a singer in a group? And then another question that asked was, rapping-wise, did you feel you was better than Andre 3000? I don't know why, but that question came up so much.
I would imagine competition-wise, you guys are true MCs. You would feel you're better than the next one.
To be totally honest, I felt like we also call ourselves the X-Men. You know what I mean? So I feel
Goody Mob,
all of us,
or all y'all collectively. Now,
yeah,
okay.
we did a GQ photo spread as the X-Men. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's to say that everybody is signified by their own special and unique power.
Right.
Did you confess that to Xavier?
Nah, Rico Wade is.
Okay,
you know,
all right, cool.
I made up some shit.
Okay.
You know, I was whoever, you know what I'm saying? Like,
cool.
You know, but I was powerful though.
He had some powers.
It wasn't that kind of competition. We felt like we were supporting each other, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a real family vibe. Me and Dre go all the way back to the third grade, man. Like, a few of us know each other longer. Like, that's probably one of the longer relationships in the entire Dungeon family. But then again, I grew up with Timo. He's living over a street over from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's 3 years older than me, but, you know, he graduated with my sister, so I had always seen him, you know, all my whole life. Wow. You know, but nah, man, like it was never that kind of competition. But you know, I will say this for the record, Killer Mike, since we mentioned him, and he's a real great MC in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? A lot of people's opinions.
Yes. Yeah.
Great person over all around.
Absolutely.
But he said in the GQ interview that he thought I was the best out of the Dungeon family. Did you know that, KP?
I heard that.
Yeah, he said that. So that's him. Y'all probably at the interview and ask him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never thought like that. I just, right. When I think about family, when I think about crew, I just come to play my position. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. And play to my strength. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just here to be a soldier for it. That's it.
So the second part of the question they asked, this was the most question, is how did it feel to be like a singer, like slash R&B with all hip hop artists? Well, I'm asking this because it was the most repeated. I know that you're a motherfucking hardcore motherfucker.
Yeah, I think that's the discounted answer.
But I just wanted, I mean, it was the most asked question. I actually literally looked at all my comments. So I just got to ask it.
How did it feel to be a singer in a crew of MCs?
Yeah.
I was an MC in the crew of MCs.
That's so you feel right. Me? Like, it's like an extra ability.
You know, so they just got to go back and do the history, exactly. Obviously. You know, but I think it's kind of like, you know, you would realize that everybody's got melody. Everybody could sing. Like Dre, right. Ended up, you know, spreading his wings.
Right.
And a lot of the times when we performed, like, you know, I'm going to tell you something, man. Like, that's been a part of my repertoire from the beginning, like even from UTFO, you know, Force MDs, you know, let me love you.
Chills can't do my body. Go ahead, nigga.
So you know how you got them high school sweetheart songs? Like, it was a song by UTFO called Fairy Tale Lover. Y'all remember that record? Oh, man. Well, you know, so it was that kind of stuff. It was New Edition. It was all that. So, like, I always felt like...
Candy Girl!
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm into that.
I swore I was in New Edition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still think I'm in New Edition sometimes. I tried to bust a move and I realized I'm old. My head is coming out.
You know what I'm saying? But nah, like, so all of that, I'm referencing all that to say it's all just, you know, an acknowledgement. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? I just say, man, like, if you got it in you, man, just do what you can. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I felt very natural doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because I saw people do it so well and so, you know, so far before me.
Now, Travis Scott recently sampled you, right?
Who? Yeah, he sampled
him. Who sampled him?
Travis Scott.
Oh.
What record did Travis sample?
He sampled Cell Therapy, Goody Mob Cell Therapy, for his song 5%.
One of the craziest records ever. Super classic in hip-hop. Yeah.
Were you supposed to say something?
Yeah, no. This is the thing. Like, I felt like, and I don't think that you could relate to this.
Okay, yeah.
Being from New York.
Exclude me out. Yeah, I'm all right.
You exclude me all the time. Queens and shit. Did y'all ever feel like...
Queens with the mad money.
Coming out the South and trying to do the lyrical route. Did you... Because this is... The thing that always rings to me is when Outkast was at the Source Awards saying what they said about the South.
Right. The South got something to say.
Right.
Yes, legendary.
Did y'all come with that? Like, when y'all were in the studio, were y'all thinking about, like, we're going to represent lyrically, or was it just natural? Like, what was it? What was the mind frame, y'all, in the booth?
I think naturally when you're a fan, you kind of liken yourself to your favorites, you know what I mean? Like, and you kind of grow up, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you live vicariously through, you know what I mean? Like, you train, you spar, right. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, with your listening palette, you know what I mean, if you will. So, you know, we was just taught by the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my favorite MC of all time is Melly Mel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? His rhyme at the end of Beat Street is the best rhyme ever written in history. You know what
and Melly Mel beat a nigga ass, too.
Yeah,
he
does.
That's what I'm saying. That nigga's never like, fell out of
they
shape.
They was gangsters. Like, you know, like, you feel me? Like, you look at
and
the
we need Melly Mel on the podcast.
Yes,
that's
we need
why.
Melly Mel on the podcast.
Yeah, them niggas in the middle of the Bronx, man, like, with spikes on and leather. You know what I mean? Them shit, they were like urban
no
warriors.
No joke.
I was...
The
I,
real
I,
warriors.
That shit spoke to me.
You know, that's something that in hip-hop, like, you know, in the last couple of years, a lot of the artists been dressing, like, you know, a little weird. And I've removed myself from comedy because I remember those days of Melly Mel and these guys with the spikes and, you know what I'm saying, tight chokers.
Or them. Like, I feel like Outkast and Andre specifically was doing that. And I remember it was an interview, I don't know, somewhere, where he said, I'm just mimicking.
He said he wants to look like the music.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That makes sense, man.
Wow.
You know, I don't know, it's entertainment, man. It's just really, like, all for fun. Like I said, if you got it in you, man, you definitely should go for it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think it would have spoke to me in that way if it didn't feel natural to me. Like, I mean, like, it would have never spoke to me.
But you say it's entertainment, but Goody Mob's material was very serious.
Absolutely.
Like, y'all were talking to things that today on Donald Trump's era, we could relate back to that album.
No, you're right. You're right.
So the first album.
Yeah, definitely. Like, because I was about to say, you know, as a crew, as a large collective, we and coming from where we were coming from, feeling the biased, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've said this on a number of occasions, too, of where we wanted to distinguish the difference between being Southern and being country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we took country as condescending. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, it was, but, and in terms of social politics as well, I mean, like, we felt like we wanted to be counted. We felt like we were fighting for the civil rights of Southern hip-hop as well. That's why the narrative was what it was. But, you know, we, but the fashion statement is to flaunt, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I mean, like, you know, it's almost, it's like, it's a dare, if you will. I mean, I like to consider it as that because, like, you know, we were hands on as well, all of that. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? All
right. So let's describe. Sure. Right? You're part of Goody Mob. It's
Am I making sense?
No, absolutely. Of course. You're part of
At
Goody
some
Mob.
Point, none of us will make sense. So it's okay. It's okay.
All right, because I don't know.
It's all about entertainment, knows, like know, we
but
said.
Listen, there's so many shows where people, they want to give people their flowers after they can't smoke. We want to give our people, there should be no way, shape, form, or fashion that I can't tell you how much I appreciate you to your face.
Thank you, bro.
I say, bro, we're a fan. We'd be a fan of you for all 17 of your careers, like a Jamaican.
Yes.
We are part of you. We support you whether you're there or you're not. Okay. When you're not around, we speak about you highly. And we want you to know to your face that you're a legend.
Thank you.
You mean so much to hip-hop, and we want to tell you to your face.
I'm
so salute. This that watermelon. Ciroc. You know what I'm saying? Salute. To your face.
Maya.
I'm not going to lie. I immediately want another one. I'm just going
to
throw
you
that out.
You need to relax.
I immediately want another one.
Yeah, okay. It tastes good, so, but it goes down wrong.
Yeah, it definitely did hit me a little bit later. Okay, so it comes a time where you saying, not leave Goody Mob, but you want to step outside.
Right.
I think you always Goody Mob, though.
No, no, no.
That's the way I feel like. It's
well, yeah.
Y'all could do your different things, but you always Goody Mob.
Man, right. we just got off tour.
Right.
Yeah, we've been
I seen you guys a bunch of times.
Describe that moment when you, like, because it comes a time when you had to step out on your own.
Right.
And you and obviously you wanted to do that, or obviously the music industry pulled you towards doing that.
Right.
So can we describe that moment for the people that don't know?
Yeah, we was just having...
Sorry to cut you off, because people from New York, we sort of looked at that and seen you by yourself at times, like... Oh, we thought it was a discrepancy. We thought it was something that happened. You know what I'm saying? So I apologize.
Hey, wait, sure. I'm going to cut you off real quick.
Yeah, please, no problem.
But as a precursor, I feel like what you did with Gnarls Barkley is a precursor to Run the Jewels and everything that came after that.
I agree. All right. I agree. Right.
And so, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Let me see. Can I recall it? Like, it was just a real simple difference of professional opinion, you know what I'm saying, like, and musical taste at that point. After we had, you know, been very fortunate to have three consecutive gold records, you know what I mean, just like, you know what I mean, the last one, you know, we were really at odds with creatively, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, I was just kind of getting, you know, a little, you know, impatient, I think, you know what I'm saying, you feel me, like, I felt like I had something else that I was capable of, you know what I mean, like, but I needed to commit to it. I needed an opportunity to, and I needed the support in doing so. You know what I'm saying? That's what I expected. Right. I didn't realize that, you know, like, it would, you know, be any kind of discord, you know what I'm saying, a disconnect. I just thought it would be a testament to our elasticity, show how far we could stretch.
That's a big word. What the
fuck? You know
elasticity. I ain't gonna I've got to use that. I don't even know what it means. But I'm
fucking
use
it right now.
Elasticity, nigga. I'm gonna go after
drink chance. Bring the show on elasticity.
After you finish this show, I'm gonna get something to eat because of elasticity, nigga. My man, I can tell you that was hard.
But you see what I'm saying? But like, yo, so I'm basically saying that to say it really wasn't severance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just stretch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And in that.
Because you had a solo album. Yeah. Like a solo album.
Absolutely.
Right?
And in that, you know, there's growing pain. You feel me?
Now, was there, like, discrepancies from that? Like, because when you did a solo album, was it still on the face or was it?
Yeah, what happened? On the paper side, on the label side, me and Gip had both gotten solo deals with LaFace.
Big old Gip.
Yeah, well, actually, as a matter of fact, it was when L.A. Reid, what's up, shout out to the Godfather, L.A.
Yes.
Reid,
yes.
Put us all on.
Big him up.
I think he was just making that transition over to Arista. So, you know, Lumberjacks, they was coming more from the grit, so which is Cujo and Timo, and they wanted to do independently. So that was their decision. Hey, we just want to go independent.
Mm.
You know, Gibb is a motherfucking rock star. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you know, he definitely had a shot, because if you think about it, Black Ice, one of our biggest singles. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like,
great record.
Without Dre and Big on it, it's a Gibb solo song.
Right.
So was Dirty South without Cool Breeze on it.
Right.
So everybody was always geared up for Gibb to be, like a big star, a big deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And represent the dungeon.
Right.
So with that, I mean, like, he got a solo shot. You know, I think I was the last to really kind of blossom. You know what I mean? Like, I'm modest in that way, I guess.
Sometimes. You know, when you go do that, you know, that other move, and it's successful for you, you look as if you, like, dissed your brothers, or you leaving it. Like, did you ever, like, because a lot of people, like for instance, for me, a lot of people didn't realize Capone was locked up when I started my solo thing. So there was so many rumors saying, oh, you know, Nori went, and he did, because so many people, we didn't have internet. People didn't identify that my partner was literally in jail.
Right.
So to the masses, it looked like I came out as Capone and Noriega, then I got greedy and then I went on my own. Did you ever?
I went through it big time. You know what I'm saying? But it was really all agreeable. I mean, like, you know, like initially, you know what I'm saying? But then the reality does set in, and you get, you know, to a point where you're supplying the demand, and you can't be two places at one time. You know what I'm saying? So scheduling was conflicting, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were having some success, you know, and we were having some defaulted, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, kind of, you know, ill kind of energy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and it was just something circumstantial. I don't think it was intentional on nobody part, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? But, yeah, we went through it. We went through it, definitely, you know, and, I mean, I went on to you know, to share in the success, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when I was doing the
voice, you got introduced to a whole different crowd. Like,
with the Danger Mouse project with Gnarly Barkley. Like, how does that happen?
I was saving Gnarly Barkley.
No, it's a part of this process that we're talking about.
I was going to CeeLo first, but let's go.
People don't know that Danger Mouse is from Atlanta. Okay.
I didn't even know that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people thought that he was some kid I found overseas or something like that. You know, but that wasn't the case. I mean, like, you know, we bumped into each other. I'm gonna try to make this story short, if you know what I mean.
Like, you can make it as long as you want.
We don't mind.
All right, so look, we was doing
take your shoes off. We good out here. Let's do it.
We got pillows.
No, it's okay. No, we don't mind.
We was doing an Outkast Goody Mob show at UGA, you know, in Athens, Georgia. So it was pouring down rain, and I remember this day, and he had on a hoodie, and he gave me a CD. The CD was called Pelican City, and I'm just referencing it so people can go back and do the knowledge, you know, man, check it out. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So, but I really didn't pay any attention. There was another homeboy of mine named Trey from Athens, whose, you know, parents had done well. He was like this spoiled kid. He wanted to get into, you know, promoting, you know, the hip-hop shows. I was his first show, and so he brought me back down to Athens, and he actually reintroduced me to Danger.
Uh-huh.
So Danger was working on another project with a kid named Gemini called Danger Mouse and Gemini. So he said, look, we got in the studio one day. He said, I want you to get on this remix for us. So I did the remix. We did the session. I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? He said, like, yo, do you mind if I play you a couple of things? I was like, cool. So he played me this ill shit that
goes on.
Talk
about Danger Mouse?
Yeah, this is Danger Mouse.
Okay, go ahead.
So he goes on to play all this ill shit that, you know, ends up becoming St. Elsewhere, but I was just taken by it. It spoke to me in a real way. And I was like, oh shit, I said, this is different. I said, like, yo, I want to use a couple of these. Let me do, you know, then years later, I would find out in an interview that we having that he said that he was bluffing me, but what he told me was, he said, well, I don't normally do, you know, just, you know, tracks. I do albums. You know, that's what he said. So I said, motherfucker, let's do an album.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where it came from. So, you know, we just went in the pocket, so it was completely independent. This record, Crazy, just goes crazy.
I was about to say, Crazy was independent?
It was independent, but it upstream to Atlanta, right?
Wait. Crazy was independent?
Independent
record.
Get the fuck out of here!
I swear to God.
But I'm going to tell you real quick. It went to Atlanta, right? Eventually.
Atlantic. But I'm gonna tell you what, real quick. No, before you go, it went to Atlantic.
Right? Absolutely.
Before my drunkenness. So I went to Sam Crespo's office one day. I was
big up Sam Crespo. Puerto Ricans in the building.
And on the board, they had records that they were promoting, and it was Nas Bark. And I was like, oh shit. And that's how I knew that this is already upstream. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is going to be a crazy record.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I'm dyslexic. So is it Janarl Sparkly or Gnarl? That G is silent.
Janarl?
I thought that G.
Janarl. Janarl's your cousin?
Listen, that G is silent.
It's just Gnarls. Like,
it ain't Janarls. It ain't with a G. I'm bugging.
Yeah. It could be for you. Janarls is your cousin.
I'm dyslexic. I see shit different.
Yo,
Janarls.
Janarls. Oh, shit. Janarls in the building. Make some noise for Janarls.
All right, telling me all these years, I ain't see a G.
You've been saying Janarls all these years?
I think it's... Are we serious right now? Oh, yeah, wait.
Y'all playing jokes on me?
Everybody text each other in group text, and I was not involved.
Yo, Janarls Barkley is another group from Lithuania.
Okay, my bad. Okay. Yep. So, now how... Now, like you said, I like to do what you said with the Run the Jewels thing, because the thing about it was it brung to a totally different audience.
Right.
Although Outkast was a different audience as well. True. But how different was this audience when we did the Gnarls Barkley? Gnarls, no G, right?
No,
Jesus,
man.
I, you know, for like 17 years I've been saying Gnarls with a G. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay.
Boris feels like I knew that.
So how different was that?
It was super different, man. Mm. We got in, and about 4 out of the 6 or 7 things that he played ended up making the album. Mm. So he came to Atlanta. He had done this mixtape called The White Album. I mean, the Great Album, I'm sorry.
The Jay-Z joint, right?
Yeah, the Jay-Z joint.
That's what I'm about to ask you.
Yeah, the collaboration.
I was 100% drunk sure that was
what it was. The Beatles and Jay-Z mixed together?
Yeah. Okay. So
he killed that.
He just gave me one because it hadn't even become a sensation at that point.
Nah, he killed
So I didn't really know the make of it. I mean, but it was dope when I heard it. But then when it shit just blew up, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So at this time, I was displaced. I wasn't even on no label. I mean, like, you know. At this time, I wrote and produced Doncha at the same time, too. Doncha for the Pussycat Dolls. Did you know that?
No G.
I'm sorry. I'm just counting your money, CeeLo. I'm sorry. That was dope. That was dope. Go ahead. Continue.
All right.
Go ahead.
So the stars just aligned so well, man. Uh-huh. Like, this fucking... Then he said, I got a week. He said, I got to go out to Iceland with Damon Albarn.
Only Iceland.
From the Gorillaz and work on this new record. I'm going to bring it all down. So he said, I got a week. Let's just try some shit. Let's get in. He said, but first.
This is Danger telling you?
This is Danger talking to me.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. As soon as he said Iceland, I immediately got cold.
He said, yo. He said, I know you, of course. I respect you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I like most of your music that you do. You know what I'm saying?
He said most?
This is how he talk. You
know, he ain't tell you
no,
most.
No. It's all good. It's dope, right? Yeah, I love it. Uh-huh. I like most of your music. He said, but I noticed in your music that there's a theme that runs throughout it, and you seem to want to, you know, try to do a lot of good. He said, you have a lot of good things to say. We're always positive. He said, I get that. I like that. He said, but I figure anybody's got that much, you know, has got that much, is trying to do that much good as God has done an equal amount of bad. He said, that's what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, shit. And that's how you feel.
Trying to take the crazy out of you.
He did.
That's the crazy.
That was hard.
Nah, so, like, basically, to make a long story short, I spazzed on that shit. Right. You know what I mean? Like, the music just spoke to me in a kind of way. So, anyway.
Don't tell me the first record you ever recorded was crazy.
Nah.
Don't tell me that.
We did about 5 or 6 records.
I mean, the whole album's a classic.
Yeah. Right. And, you know... Nobody, so Crazy is done in just one take. We just demo on the record. What you hear is it would be considered a demo, but we just flew that way because it got leaked.
Hold on, time out. You're trying to be modest.
Nah, I'm serious.
I'm gonna brag for you, nigga.
But no,
did you just say you recorded that in one take?
Yeah.
Make some noise!
All right.
You know what? For the last couple of episodes, we've been doing the watermelon because it's been girls, right? We had Angie Martinez.
Don't blame it on the girls, bro.
Yeah, I didn't want to give Angie Martinez a Tiger Bone.
Yeah, man, she deserved Tiger Bone.
Did you bring a new bottle of Tiger Bone?
Yeah, I don't, it's not there.
All right, so what are we going to do? All right.
No, we got enough for us right now.
Yo, this is what's going on. I thought I was still not answering the question, man.
Yo, let him answer the question.
Oh, my bad. No, I want to salute you right now. What question was you answering? I'm sorry.
No, we're just saying, he was tripping off it was just being independent.
Nah, that was crazy.
No, the one tank is what he was tripping off.
The one tank and the independent is both blowing me out my river. Because
people asked us after the fact, they said, did y'all know Crazy was going to end up, you know, what becoming what it was? He was like, no. He said, the only thing I knew as a producer was it sounded more like a single than anything else that we had done prior.
So you knew that was a single when you did the record?
That's what he was saying. He just said it sounded like a single. You know, he didn't really
know. Just said that?
Yeah. That's what he was telling in an interview. This was after the fact.
But did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't think so?
No.
Wow.
We just, you know.
I'm going to get these niggas a shot,
third
too.
Third shot extender. We just busting out shots.
Oh, yeah.
Get these niggas a shot, too.
We just automatic, man. Busting out shots.
See, I'm gonna fully warn you.
Yo, relax, buddy. You gave me way too much.
No, it's okay. You give me some more. You give me some more. Yeah. Tiny bit more.
This is where we had that first time. That shit was
alright, cool. The first time was cool.
Yeah, you want more?
This is Tiger Bone.
Yeah, you know this is aged in my garage.
Joe's Garage.
Ancient Cuban Secret.
Okay, once again.
For sure.
This is to your career. Oh, man. Salud.
Cheers. Yeah. I hate that shit, man.
That's good too.
It wasn't that bad.
It's not good, man.
I like it.
No, you don't. Stop it.
It wasn't that bad.
Don't perpetuate the lie.
I'm a drinker, though.
Yeah, no, he's a drinker.
Not a drink.
No, any man, I see them drink Patron and just stand there. Like, I was like, there's no symptoms, there's no effect. You know, I'm like, E40's like that too.
Yeah, that's what
E40, E40's a drinker.
Big homie, yeah.
Okay, so,
anyway, man, you said how they got on Atlantic. Okay. The shit, the record leaks, it goes bananas, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you didn't plan on dropping it independent? It leaked.
It leaked.
Oh, that's a big difference. Okay.
So look, then it goes. It's the first record to go number one by digital downloads at that time.
Right.
So you feel me? So the shit was number one several weeks before we did a deal. It was a number one.
So you were visiting SoundCloud rappers. It's cool to you.
I had something to do.
This is before SoundCloud.
This is a crazy story.
You could kind of consider this one of the first viral records.
This is
like, to go viral.
This is
super viral.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, though. The impact was so big that super I always viral. Thought it was a major from the beginning. So me hearing you say that is blowing my mind.
This record has got a Guinness World Record, man, for being played on more radio formats crazy. Than any other song in history. Was played on talk radio. This is one
Maury
big
Povich and shit
song,
like that.
Man. Like, you know, on like AM. AM somewhere, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Maury Povich didn't play this record.
In my mind, he did.
But look, in my mind, just to answer you, OJ, and give you guys a fun fact, Atlantic actually turned down the
originally
first. Interscope turned us down. A couple of people turned it down. Then we ended up getting distribution through a gentleman by the name of Josh Deutsch, who was starting to another independent record called Downtown, which had Santee Gold. Y'all familiar with her?
Yeah, she's
so
amazing.
We was label mates in that little short amount of time. But he ended up getting his distribution through Atlantic, and that's how Atlantic came about.
And let me explain really quick. Like, as a DJ, I already had the record.
Because he bootlegged your shit.
Yeah.
That's a cold word.
I had it as a DJ, but I have a marketing company, and I was working at Atlantic. And Sam Crespo, which I've known Sam, and I went to the label, and I was so happy to see the record I already was fucking with on the board. It was on the board at Atlantic Records.
And did you first get a hold to about by where the leak to?
I had the white label.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That is cool. That's right. The leak?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the white label, yeah. And the thing is, my company is everything crazy. Like, my company's Crazy of Productions, and crazy is everything we talk about.
Crazy!
So your record spoke to us.
That is a fact.
Nah, this is like, I mean, this shit is dope. And to look back on them, it's like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really have no feel no kind of way about it. I'm blessed and I'm fortunate, man. But, you know, like, it wasn't by my design, not necessarily.
Now, recently, Big Boy performed in the Super Bowl.
Nah, I'll just talk about it.
And you like the friend you are. You stepped up. You defended him because of everything that was going on. Then you received some backlash.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Or explain in your point of view, what was you meaning?
Well, the shit got so out of hand, man, I ended up doing a formal apology on TMZ.
Damn.
But what the post was, you know, Big was getting a lot of backlash, you know what I'm saying, like for supporting the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know how it is to be under the gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know the pressure. And then, you know what I'm saying? And he was doing it, you know, as an individual artist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, which is a feat, you know what I'm saying, in his hometown. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people don't know what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Adam and Big are really good friends and business partners. You know
Adam Levine.
From Maroon 5.
Right, yeah.
It was his pleasure, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, to allow... You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, us to be represented. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, somebody from the city should have represented in that time slot. One of the most coveted 6 minutes. Of,
right, absolutely.
The most coveted
absolutely.
6 minutes of ad time you've ever motherfucking seen, right? You know what I'm saying? So, like, he got to do that. So, anyway, just as a friend, I'm like, damn, I'm feeling his pressure. But then I'm feeling encouraged, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because I'm looking at him. I'm like, when I see him, I see me. I see us. Mm. And I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, this shit is super relevant. You know what I mean? Like, we're right in the eye of the storm. Right. And I was, like, letting him know. I needed to let him know in a real public, you know, like, way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that I loved him and I supported him. And I'm like, don't crumble under the pressure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I know there is something. Like, a part of the talent is making it look easy as it does. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know, this shit could be demanding. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Taxing. You know what I'm saying? So... That's what it was, and that's why it's a tone that come along with my explanation, because that's how I felt. But the light side of it is, we was in motherfucking Taco Mac in Atlanta, a little joint that's got the dope chicken wings and little thing, you know, bar foods, and we watching the fucking game.
Right.
You know, I'm drinking some Blue Moons, and we having fun. I'm with my wife, we having fun.
Big of your wife.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? What's up, Queen Shani?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and I do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Big... Do that shit. You look, baby. You look beautiful, baby. Fuck these protesters. What I said. Fuck these so-called protesters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you know.
They took it in a whole different
they
way.
They did. I'm like, yo, you gotta know that it does nothing. Have nothing
that's,
to do
that's
with.
That's why Twitter is a
police brutality.
Up place.
I know some shit like that. Of course.
That's
come
not
on,
what
man.
You meant. I know. I knew exactly.
And sometimes when I say things, I'm thinking people know me from all of the history and all of the work we put in.
But they won't take the time
to figure out.
This has always been. Our plight.
I think
sometimes
I think you underestimate your celebrity. Like
meaning
you're so much bigger than like it's just like just even seeing you in DJ Khaled house and you literally came in
Khaled,
by yourself.
Remember,
I know
Andy
I can't. I'm dyslexic, man. I'm just riding with it the way I'm.
Dyslexia has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it does. It's the way I'm pronouncing it.
What you said,
but you dead like by yourself, like you know what I'm saying. And most people. Will ever be caught like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's honorable.
Yeah.
But it's also like sometimes in certain situations, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, no doubt.
A little crazy to be by itself.
But technically, we're neighbors, so I really felt like I was just coming down the street.
Okay, you know No.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, relating to the Twitter thing,
is
sometimes you probably, you know, tweeting and you speaking to. You're your version of people.
Right.
But there's so many people that follow you, or so many people that's there just
retweets,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, like, it's super sensitive. But I was able to rectify it. You know what I'm saying? I can shed some light on it, man. Like, and I truly meant no harm.
Right.
It was just drunken love and support, man. For
happy for your brother,
which is
absolutely correct,
you know
man.
What I mean?
Right, because we live in a sensitive moment. Like we live in times where comedians have to be like so fucking cautious. Like,
and I don't like that,
what the
man.
Fuck they
but
saying?
Times we live in, man. Like the political correctness.
Because if you look at hip hop, you look at all the fucking bad shit that you go back from back in the day.
It's terrible.
Like, holy moly, guacamole! Like we're all fucked up.
And we shouldn't take it back.
Like we're all fucked. Like if you go and look at every fucking lyric. Like
it's terrible.
Like it's terrible. Like
really?
people be sending me tweets like yo erase this. I'm like oh shit. Like, I said that? That was me? Like, they're like, yo, that was 2000 and such and such. I'm like, what the moly moly? I didn't even know. And I still don't think it's me, so I would have told niggas, like, people was operating my shit.
Don't take it back, just evolve.
Yeah, that's it. All it is. So we live in a crazy time. Everybody evolves. So now, boom. All this happens. They call you for a show. The Voice.
Man.
Immediately.
Dun, dun, dun,
is it,
dun,
is dun, it dun, the dun. Bag? Or is it like, you know what? Let me see if I can add on to what they're
trying
to do.
I'm going to say it's not the bag. I don't know.
It's not the bag. Not a bag.
I ain't going to lie. If it was the bag for me, I would have been there with a pinata hat on. Like that. Only thing about me, I can't hurt people's feelings. Like, I got a good heart. I can't hurt anybody's feelings.
Me either. I don't like that shit either, okay. Man. But okay. Look, the shit is dope. Like, right, so I was doing a Saturday Night Live performance.
I had that question too.
That's kind of stunned on us, right?
Some noise.
I can't press the button. I'm gonna get this motherfucker. Oh, no, I'm not getting it.
Uh-huh. Let me get it.
No, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Hold on, it's gonna work. Wait, don't say anything because I'm gonna ruin everything.
All right.
There we go.
Nah, so we were doing a performance, man, and Sir Mark Burnett was there. So Mark Burnett is television and film, you know.
Royalty.
That's the word. It's like, you know, executive producer of The Apprentice and Survivor. Yeah.
Wow.
And you name it. Let me say, you feel me? Like, he's done exceptionally well.
Yeah.
So, he out there in the fucking audience checking out the show. I mean, him and Lauren Michaels, who you know, was, I guess is.
I love how he was starting. I love Michaels. Continue, my brother.
So.
Yes.
With that, he just said he saw something in me. You know what I mean? You feel me? And it didn't hurt that I had the motherfucking number one record in the country at the time either.
So never hurt.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Listen, man.
You asked me, man. So this how this shit go, man.
No, I love it. Man. Yes, I love
no,
it.
No, look. All right, so look. Uh-huh. Now, seriously, though, like, me and Adam were cool.
Right.
And we all got together and we had dinner. Like, they let us know off top who they thought the cast would be. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. So we sat down and we had a preliminary dinner together, man. And everybody was just like, me and Adam knowing each other. That's a dope story about Adam, too. Can I say it right quick?
Yes, please. And when you say Adam, listen, we know you're, like, very, like, up there. A lot of people don't know.
Please. We don't know nobody by first name.
Our audience.
Excuse us.
Adam Maroon 5.
Okay. And for those who don't know, Maroon 5 is one of the biggest. Let me be careful how I word this. What is it? Because what was the
I don't know where you're going.
NSYNC, like
you're comparing them to NSYNC.
They're like the grown version of NSYNC. Maroon 5.
You know,
yeah, like before. NSYNC was not NSYNC. It's like they're like the grown up version.
They're
of
not
Maroon 5.
A boy band.
And they wear Rolexes.
I'm not fucking with you right now.
Adam Levine Rolex game. Serious. You ever see Adam Levine Rolex game?
No. His text and trade pictures. He's like, what do you think about this?
His watch game is crazy. By the way, your watch, I have no idea. I felt like I can't pronounce whatever the name
it's
of your watch
Dunamis.
Is.
It's ridiculous.
It's Dunamis?
I felt like the Wizard of Oz is jealous.
That is hard. That is hard. Listen.
It's old, man.
It's called a Dunamis?
It's a Dunamis. It was an upstart, and we were supporting each other, man. Like, I was like, yo, I love that design.
Wow.
But I mean, it was like, it's a couple years ago. It's about 10 years old. You know, wow. Right? So the style, like, you know, like, everybody's on, like, slim, trim, you know, like, you know, Patek, you know what I mean? Like, you know, presidential, you know, all of that. And I got those, too. But this is old, you know what I mean?
That shit is gleaming. It's
only because you was just talking about Adam's watch.
Right, you know.
Yeah, no. I'm, like, niggas like watches, man.
Right.
So this is old. This is old school. It's something that probably.
Stop! You're hurting my eyes.
But look, it's worth nothing. Now it's so original and unique. It's worth nothing.
What do you mean by that?
You can't trade it for anything. It's like painting.
Only the Mona Lisa.
It's like painting a Rolls Royce lime green. Once you personalize it to that point, it's your car.
Only person that wants it is a person that wants
absolutely
a lime green car.
You know what I'm saying? And then of course, you know, like, these watches are. estimated, you know what I'm saying, like, and ranked by their motoring, you know what I'm saying, like, you mean, like, the movement. Mm. So it's like, you know, this is like...
So it's like that and Banksy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I got it.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's,
I got notes.
It could be a Banksy watch.
Yeah, no, Banksy's the motherfucker.
He is the motherfucker.
He's a genius. So
that's
yeah.
the art nigga, right?
Yeah,
he like an art graffiti nigga. He's be violating, like, you know. Let me tell you something.
Why are you violating, bro?
If it's they like find out he black, he gonna go to jail.
What?
Because
maybe he's
the
Cuban,
shit he
man.
Be doing is like is, you gotta be white. Cause he just be putting like paintings in
Cuban,
museums and shit. This shit is already there.
Man.
Like, come on, you can't do that if you're black.
No.
If you're black, you get arrested.
The art community and the white community and middle America at large love him so much. If he turns out to be black, he can fucking be the next black president.
Wow.
That's how dope motherfuckers consider him to be. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
He gonna be Japanese.
I got notes, nigga. Hold on. I got the old rated R in the building. No, all right, what's up, rated R?
He's got,
success in the building. What's up, my brother?
He's got our body.
God damn it. I got notes.
He's got our body with it, man. Damn, let's talk about some more good shit. What you saying, man?
We was on the
watch. So anyway, like,
okay,
I just brought it out because it worked so well with what I was doing tonight. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And
that was another applause. I love it.
But I'm trying to tell you some real shit. Because now how motherfuckers are now the larger conversation has become property, real estate.
Right,
you know,
right.
Motherfucker, young niggas is talking about that right now. So
right.
Like, I'm just being real about like just the fact that this watch is worth nothing. It looks
right.
good. It's worth
right.
nothing.
Right. And you be staying at the Faena Hotel.
Yeah.
Which, what a segue.
I'm just being honest. That hotel.
Was that the
Faena?
Was that a bummer?
I've never seen that hotel for under like $2,400 or like $1,400. I've never seen it like that. That is.
Oh, the room rates?
Yeah, that
I
is.
I didn't know that they don't charge us for rooms.
Yo, you broke a hole with that, bro.
You know, when I'm over there, I'm an employee. Like, it's one of the most gorgeous properties on South Beach.
Yo, listen.
He says an employee? What do you say?
That was the best.
I don't get that.
That was the...
What I'm saying is, I'm a paid performer and a preferred guest. So, you know, I'm still getting, you know, this the business is still formal, but
the
amenities are scripted. It's written in... You know.
I don't really...
No,
I'm not at that level. You're not at that level. We can't relate. Listen. The other day he said it so nonchalantly.
We can all right now.
Let's go right now.
Yeah, he was just talking the other day.
He
was like, yeah, cause I be at the Faena Hotel. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at this nigga. I was like, what the fuck did he just? Because now, mind you, this is how. Found out about the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Faena Hotel.
That's it.
It sounds like a Mexican restaurant.
Was Drink Champs Army. This is when like we was on it. Like we was battling everybody out there. So Jay-Z had landed in Miami and Drink Champs Army had showed me a picture of Jay-Z. So I sent it to Jay, but I wanted to know it wasn't, you know, us that's stalking him. But, you know, this is how much people want you on Drink Champs. So he's like, where the fuck did you see this at? He's like, you know what? Come meet me at the hotel. So he said, yo, the Faena Hotel. And I had never heard of this shit.
So what is it?
That's the hotel.
What is it?
I've never been there.
It's like where Mexican revolutionaries hang out.
No. Hold up. As I'm on the way going there, he goes, yo, chill. Meet with the Chris Rock show. And the Chris Rock show was by my place where Rolling Loud is this weekend. So I just turned around and went that way. And then my wife gets her hair done. Yeah, but I actually never went in there or whatever. But
you
everyone.
See, that's
and I went and looked.
Like you fuck with Jay like that.
No.
It's a couple of big guys.
He's stunned. He needed me for something. It was
no,
something. So I had to be there. No, what's going on? Everybody there?
My man, New Jersey twerk, man.
Okay, all right. That either mean if you got twerk, that either mean you selling a lot of drugs. Or you in the strip club. And I look at your face and tell. It's the first one. Let's make some noise. Man. So see though, man, coming from where you came from, seeing, you ever thought hip hop would be this big? You ever thought that? you know, you'll be performing. Like you went on tour with Lionel Richie. I imagine old bitches was throwing panties on stage with Lionel Richie. Like, come on, keep it real. Like,
depends. They might have been throwing depends.
They were throwing grandma panties on stage with Lionel Richie. Like, he's still getting it popping.
No doubt. he was taking care of. He had a bad one with him. Then
I feel like he's
like 24. He's like 900.
He was good. You know what I'm saying? But the greatest part about that, you know what I'm saying, is just the acknowledgement. You know what I mean? Like, you know, to share the space. You know what I mean? Like, to be mentioned in the same sentence, man. It's such a compliment, man. You feel me? Like, I can't help but be humble by that, man. Lionel Richie is my, you know, like,
right.
You know, that's my ancestor, man. Like, he come before me. I'm humble. You know what I'm saying?
How's that phone call, even getting that phone call that Lionel Richie wants you to come roll? And do you act like a little stuck up at first? Because you're like, you know.
I mean, you have to be humble with Lionel, man.
One thing I'm going to be is comfortable because, you know what I'm saying, like, it's just if I know these people, I grew up with them. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, he essentially taught me how to sing. I can sing along. Like, how I learn how to sing is imitating people. So it's like, you know, I realized that I was, you know, growing, you know what I'm saying, like, or getting better when I could just be flush up against it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, and not be able to tell the difference between myself and the track. You know what I mean? So that's how I learned how to say it. But the biggest, the first step to being great is having great taste. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? You've got to know what's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but the first thing you'll feel is what's good to you. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And it might not be everything for everybody else, but like, you got to just be true to thyself, as the saying goes. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's where all this colorful shit come from, man. Like, you know, I just be having fun with it now. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't no secret.
Okay, let's make some noise for that. I've never seen Lionel Richie perform. I had dinner, like, adjacent with him. He was to the side one time. And then I've had dinner across the street from him one time. But I've seen LL perform. And LL, at some point, gives out roses. And every woman in the crowd loses their mind. For some reason... I feel like Lionel Richie has a routine like that. Okay. Am I bugging?
Easy. See, I was trying to say something, you know, poignant about it, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to just being too, you know, but like the reality of it was I was coming on early, people were still filing in their seats. I was performing to like, you know, nowhere near full, right? You know what I'm saying? And then it would eventually grow throughout the set. People start sitting down, blah, 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 getting comfortable. And then night would fall. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, by the time I'm at the songs that they're going to actually motherfucking know. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we finish them off with Crazy and Fuck You. And like, it's like, bam. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
And what's funny is that he say, and fuck you.
Yeah. You know, that's the crazy shit. That's literally my next question. You keep throwing me out of you.
And fuck you. My next song is Fuck You.
Now, was Fuck You independent as well?
And fuck you.
It was. We did that together. That was
Atlanta.
Yeah, he did that together.
I got a story about that shit too.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, but Lionel Richie puts on the best shows. So much energy and such a fucking arsenal. You know what I'm saying? Like iconic, legendary hit records. Every tempo from slow to mid to fucking all night long. You know what I'm saying? Like
he's a legend, man.
Man, dog, that shit gonna be motherfucking.
We need him on Drink Champs. A lot of y'all
are sitting back not knowing.
If we can get Lionel Richie on Drink Champs,
a lot of y'all are sitting back not knowing. Listen, your mom's got fucked the Lionel Richie. How the fuck y'all here right now? They need to be showing more respect and be louder than me. That's a legend, my dude.
We might think we're a lot younger, but once you go, it's going to be just like muscle memory. You're going to realize and be reminded that you've been around. Because you're going to know all of these songs.
Right.
And that's what's great about it.
That's goddamn awesome. So, throughout all hip hop, if you could do one thing over better, what would you do?
I would take my entire emceeing career more serious. You know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you.
Aside from your singing career?
Well, singing, like, I could do that easier. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, I could sing easy. I guess what I mean by that is like, you know, just more adept and more like, you know, having affinity for like color and harmony and melody.
Don't feel that there was a undeveloped lane in your MC career, or do you feel?
I wish You know what I'm saying? Like, that I had, like, more rap shit that connected. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like,
we all know you as an MC.
Real fans.
Real rap connoisseurs.
I just mean from my solo work. You know, all of my albums were kind of like, you know, they varied. I mean, like, it's rapping, singing, all kind of shit on them shits. So you feel me? Like, so I didn't feel like I did enough as an MC. And like, I feel like I'm still as good of an MC as I can, you know what I mean? Like, as I want to be.
Right.
You feel me? So, but the bulk of what that is and what that represents, and so like, you know, like the roots of the tree is Goody and Dungeon Family. That's why we've been, you know, so like refurbishing the brand, right. You know, like boots to the ground with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, and doing some shit we haven't done in 25 years together, and that's tour. We never did it.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Goody Mob is touring right now.
Yeah, well, the Dungeon Family is touring with us. KP is out there with us. We got actually Organized Noise, you know, so they chartered a tour bus and came out just as the top tier. It's just to come and, you know, oversee it and be, you know, you feel me, just be present. You feel me? Like, because it was just, it's pretty fucking, you know, historic what we're doing if we don't ever get a chance to do it again. But like.
But Andre's in that too?
Andre didn't come.
Come on, man. We need Andre.
I know. We talk about it.
We need him.
You feel me? What I can tell you is he's proud. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, and he's accessible. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we are still very, very immediate family, all of us. All right. We talk very consistently.
Yo, last three times I seen Andre 3000, he was by himself with a shoestring belt.
All right, that's a great story, but we need Andre 3000 rhyming, doing shit right now.
Now look, that's the same thing you just noticed about me the other day. I walked up by myself. You see him by himself.
Yeah, it's like, very true.
And like, man, like, no, oh my shit, my G. You know what I'm saying? Like, my G, Gunplay.
Gunplay in the building. Gunplay in the building.
And see the homie because I was just about to say some gangster shit.
Gunplay, he gave you the energy.
I don't have the complex. I don't have the fear. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, because I did the taking when I was out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look, real quick. I mean, just because CeeLo's here, I just want to say this on the energy of Andre. Right. Andre don't owe it to us, but we would appreciate if Andre comes back to the table.
We all would,
and
man.
And give us the music. Right.
We all would, because we all fans too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but there's no pressure, man. Like, you mean,
no,
like, you
no
know,
pressure.
Not how hard it would be to get a Dungeon Family album done with every member of the Dungeon Family right now? Did I go too far?
No.
Because I felt like if I asked this to RZA, RZA would start sweating.
Right.
Just being honest.
No, man, like. It's a whole lot easier. I was just about to say this.
To record?
Yeah, man. Like, and that's the conversation we've been having because, like, the energy, like, you know, it's in the room now. Like, you know, motherfuckers is feeling a certain kind of way. Like, man, we could do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
This is Stankonia Studios where we're going to be at. It's easier?
Stankonia. Yeah, I mean, like, well, anyway, I think we should actually do something more, you know, eventful. Like,
Kanye,
you know,
route and go to...
Go somewhere.
Where did Kanye at? The nigga in Yugoslavia, right?
Then you come to Miami and record a crazy
Minnesota. Bearsville.
Yeah, we used to go to Circle House on Venice. You know,
nah, but come down south, even more south.
Where he at?
Wyoming.
That shit remind me of jail, that name. Like, Wyoming, I immediately feel like I'm locked up.
You be like, wow.
Yeah, for real. I feel like I'm locked up.
It is cold. Continue. Don't stop. Continue. Well, with that interruption, thanks for that, buddy.
All right. What up, big homie? Let's talk
this
about
this. This is the thing. So what I wanted to ask is, did you foresee when you was the Gnarls Barkley, or not even foresee, after you did Gnarls Barkley, and then Run the Jewels came about, did you see the connection?
Yeah, definitely. Black kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even though...
But you think it was that simple? Racially wise?
No, I mean, like, them niggas is dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, and you can't pretend the effect. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the reciprocation was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so... It was just official. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I thought it was dope. Like, I mean, if I could be any kind of inspiration to somebody like that, and just so they could, you know, like, you know, create a path too. It's about blazing trails. You
absolutely,
know what
absolutely.
I mean, like,
yeah.
You know, so like I can dig that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like all of that is for culture to just show what we're capable of. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Will we ever see a CeeLo lyrical album? Just lyrics, just rhyming.
Man, I be tripping. I think a lot. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And I think that, you know, maybe if I sat down and focus, yeah, I probably could. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that I should. You know what I'm saying? Because it'd be dope. You know what I mean? Because once I actually commit to it, and I you know, and it's you know, it's the space I'm in, I probably could go. You know, that's when you realize you can go further than that. It's like, okay, right. Shit, what the fuck I was waiting on in the first place? You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if motherfuckers give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, besides your ass.
Yeah,
you
give a fuck. You're waiting for that shit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Look at that. Gunplay gives a fuck.
Yeah.
This is to the motherfucking career of CeeLo Green, and we also got our brother joining the show, motherfucking Gunplay,
yes,
right now. And we are also with the motherfucking legend, CeeLo motherfucker.
Cheers, mate.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry to change the subject to like a sour moment, but you were on victory lap with Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Yeah.
That shit, it hit home for me.
Right.
For all of us.
For everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look.
You know,
first of all, did you know Nipsey prior to recording with him, or okay?
You know,
you was on the album,
yeah.
I just said victory lap,
yeah.
And you know, the only one of my kind on that record. You know, saying right. He came far.
Absolutely,
you know, he traveled to come get me.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Wow. So it meant a lot. It was really significant in that way.
Wow.
You know, and of course, you know, the untimely passing, which is, you know, it just iconicizes this particular project so much more.
Mm.
It's, you know, it'll live forever now. And so like because of the circumstance surrounding it,
right.
You know, and I get a chance to, you know, be, you know, it's bittersweet. You know, so like, but I get a chance to be a part of that legacy. It's gonna live forever. You know what I mean? Like, and so will I. You know, in association. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because I was like, God damn. Thought about that. And I thought about just, you know, who else I do with Offset record too. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I got a chance to be a part of some really relevant shit right now. So like, it was just like an honor, man. Like, you know, to rock with the homie in that way.
Now Gunplay, you too, because we've all heard rumors of, you know, Nipsey coming very, very, very close to signing to MMG.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, you know, you being one of Ross's right hands man, I'm sure you had a lot of encounters with him. So how did you take that?
Like, first, I want to start with, like, me and the big homie was just rapping about, like, do this generation appreciate his art and there you go, you know what I'm saying? Nipsey, like, he's like the cloth of the street, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, for real. And as you can see, he reached out to the big homie, and the record that he did with Ross, the first one.
Tears of Joy,
already. Mm. It was like, now, and then the second one, Smile. I can't play it with anybody else in the car, because I don't want them to think I'm a bitch when I get the... You know what I'm saying? Look.
That record's like
that. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. Like,
I gotta be doing that. I gotta be
kids.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't even pray for my wife. I gotta be like, so, nigga,
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just humbled to even be in this situation right here. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? First off. And second of all, I didn't really interact with, I didn't see him. You know how I be, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I really be real turf. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really get to bump into him on the industry sets like that. But I already know, just by watching his interviews, listening to his music, I already knew he was grounded. He was what we need to follow. He was a leader.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what, you know, and I took stuff out of his music when I did listen to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that was key. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's crazy, Ross was going to say.
You know what? We're going to all say God bless and rest in peace. But moving on to a positive note, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We want, like, you know, the Ring Champs is about praising the artists while they're alive. And again, I want to reiterate, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, Gunplay pulled up because I know he's going to help us with this.
Right.
Is we want you to know that you're appreciated now.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Like, time, everything that you did, you know what I'm saying?
And then you are a legend. You are a living legend.
You're humble, but we'll brag for you. No problem.
Look, never mind the South, you are a living legend for us and in all of hip hop. No, but I start selling weed, even more.
I start selling weed when I get the Y'all album, bro. That's why it means so much to me when listening to y'all shit and listen, like, to intro, the outro, to everything. Y'all dropped jewels before the jewels was supposed to even be picked up.
Talk that shit, Gunplay.
Niggas ain't even know they was supposed to pick up jewels, and it was already like, yo, like the everything from the first single, from, you know what I'm saying, peeping in my window, and everything that's happening now.
Let me just ask, because, you know, the Illuminati and conspiracy theories, they always say that who's that peeking in my window was about some other shit that we didn't know about.
No, it's happening now. The gates will put up to keep crime out and keep our ass in. Like, listen,
Pete. Can we explain that? What was that record about? Because,
hey, I don't know.
Let me tell you the whole story. Okay. It's dope. It's another.
Please.
All right, so look. Now, this is one of my all-time favorites.
Okay.
MCs of all time. Who just said recently in his post that you were his favorite MC. This is Busta Rhymes.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, big up Busta.
Right? Love Buzz, one of my all-time favorites, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, the story goes, we're in Atlanta. It's now Stankonia, but it was Boss Town then.
Mm.
Outkast bought Bobby Brown's studio. It was Bobby Brown's first. It was called Boss Town.
Cocaine all over?
I'm sure it was. Yeah!
I'm sorry, Bobby's my nigga, you know what, I'm taking the story, they bought a studio, I'm taking it back, we was at Darp
Dallas Austin studio.
Okay, cool.
Not so much cocaine there.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of bandanas around that.
all this cocaine, and I don't see a line yet.
So check it out. Busta Rhymes gave us. Busta Rhymes came in our session. He said, "Brothers, you know, like, I, you know, like, for me, what y'all work, blah blah blah." But what did he say? He's like, "Y'all brothers is doing some good things. I want to pass off a bit of information to y'all." There was this book called "Behold a Pale Horse."
Oh, get the fuck out of here! I read that book in jail.
God bless the day.
I read that in jail.
Cooper, come on, Bill. Bill Cooper. Wait, Buster Rhymes gave us Way Woke.
Get the fuck out of here.
Buster Rhymes gave it to the dungeon. So Big Rule, who was our resident, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Guru.
Yeah, you know, he's guru.
Signature of information.
Exactly. He read the book first. This book is what? It's 300 pages or better.
Yeah.
So we had to take his time. He read the book. You know, we all was living at the dungeon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy at the time. So, basically, long story short, that book got around. Everybody read.
Wow.
Everybody read Behold a Pale Horse.
That makes a lot of good hip-hop sense.
Put y'all on a whole nother.
Yeah.
And then y'all niggas in the studio high.
Just snap.
And niggas seen somebody peeking through the window.
Well, that was the analogy, though.
Say, like, Big Brother's watching.
Yeah, man.
1985.
Let me interject 84. One more little quick little whoopty whoop. My nigga, my old girl, right? She was being like hella hip then, and she gave me the Sunday National Law, some book, whatever, and it ultimately led me to the Bill Cooper book, the White Horse book.
Woo.
So, my nigga, like, when they were saying that, my old girl was preaching that same shit to me. And I was like, oh, wait, hey, this shit makes sense. And my nigga, it's going on now. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything.
No, it's
all about putting, like, your shit right there on the table, like, for real, for real. They was talking that shit before niggas even knew
it. Perspective, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why, like, it's truly a testament. It's an accomplishment to still be here, man, and talking about it right now because, you know, we was blacklisted out of the gate. You know what I'm saying? Like, we came with the information right out the gate.
Yeah.
Almost like we didn't plan to make $1 in this game.
That's crazy.
Out right on the line, right off top. Wham.
And let me just tell you something. Let me be honest with you. You almost like bear with me. At the OJ level, meaning, like, some people don't look at OJ like black. Like, you made it to certain levels.
No.
Where certain people would just look at you like, you just see, though.
It's true.
I went too far?
No.
I'm just saying.
No. You look at
CeeLo.
No.
But what I'm saying is, if me, you, and CeeLo right now walk down the street, the white people was gonna say what's up to him.
Of course.
I'm just being honest. Like,
still waters right.
Like, I still be everyone though.
Yo.
Look, he conquered the job of staying out the county jail long enough. Then all of us, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did that. That's a nigga full time job. Like, stay out the county, bro. Yeah. Just stay out. We gonna make it.
This nigga from jail into his Janaz Walkley conversation.
No, this is real. That's
a big time guy.
He's saying Janaz Walkley.
I said Jim with a G. I'm sorry.
My name,
it was G apostrophe.
Hey, shit be real. Look how y'all caught me, man. Hold up.
Oh, shit.
Again, because I know Gunplay is going to co-sign this. I know EFN is going to co-sign this. We just want to say how much we appreciate you, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
For digging in the dirt and breaking boundaries. In a lot of ways, us seeing you guys in Goody Mob and Outkast and, you know, taking different ways, that's one of the reasons why I mess with a person like Pharrell.
Sure.
Was just to just jump outside the box And at the time, too, Swiss Beats as well. A lot of people didn't. Like, he was just working with Rough Riders, and that was it. And I just wanted to do something different.
You discover Pharrell, bro.
I mean, you can say that. You know, I'm a humble guy. Yes, I love it.
Essentially be attributed to you.
Yeah, I love it. You know what? You know, I got nothing but love for the guy. And I love our history together. But, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I want to make it more about you, sir. Like, you know, Gustavo, I'm good. I keep hitting the mic, right? I'm good. All right, sorry.
Everybody got their own paths.
Yeah.
It don't matter what's what. Everybody, we can all come up together. Yep. And it don't matter. We'll rise here, but some will go this way. Some will go to film. Some will go to TV. Some will go to this. Some will produce. Some will sell crack. Some will do some houses. Whatever the fuck. Right. But everybody got their own joint. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody. Yeah. So nobody should be like, oh, that nigga. Nah, what's your path? Like, right. What did you create for yourself? What destiny did you see for yourself that you made reality? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This was his reality. Like, look, I'm gonna be a street nigga. I'm gonna be me. But I'm finna go ahead on finagle the bagel with these food wops and just go get where I got to go. And I'm finna make the best music possible that could
pull that shit about you that sticks to your ribs.
Say that.
You feel me? And then boom, at the same time, hey, you know what I'm saying? Be you. That's you know true. What I'm saying? That's how it is. I'm watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I'm watching Tupac, I'm watching T.I., I'm watching these niggas, these niggas is on film, but they still them.
Yep,
and still get that word. I'm still gonna be, but I could...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just if I have to.
Right.
If I have to, I'm not trying to do that.
Ain't no problem.
But if I got to, but if I have to,
hey, that's a great saying that says... There's a thin line between being pro-black and being professional.
Hey!
Woo!
Hey!
Yo, so
and then you just well you know,
said. Yeah, no.
And then and listen, and this month, nigga, like, come on, bro, yo, CNN, the whole situation.
No, let's keep it. Let's keep it.
Oh, yeah. My first song I ever had on a mixtape was him. I'm just letting you know the history. But go ahead. Bro.
No, it's all right. We got music we ain't ever put out.
Exactly, bro.
Here's the ultimate accomplishment. Is you see how naturally it was for me to say how much I appreciate you. I mean, you say, and the thing about it, appreciate you and vice versa. Think about it, that's what we got to do for our community. The thing is, we got to preach that. We can preach so much other, yo, fuck this bitch and, you know, smoke this up. But why not say, yo, man, my man is a great guy. I'm going to tell him now.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Like when John Singleton just passed away, God bless the dead. Actually had footage of us giving him his flowers right there, saying, yo. You know what I'm saying? God. So that was a beautiful moment for me. Because I didn't do it for that moment, expecting him to go pass away. But the thing about it is, that's what we got to... We got to big up our communities way more than these... You know what I'm saying? Because you could go to Nebraska, you could go to Milwaukee, or you could go to Dusseldorf, Germany, and they'll be throwing roses at your feet. Your roses should be at your feet whenever in America as well.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? I hate when I go to Europe and they appreciate me more. I hate when I go to Europe. The doors open at 9:00,
and they
got the whole shit packed at 6:00.
Can I tell you this?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I'm just the only celebrity standing there at that moment, or if it's really something to do with me. But I got so much love, bro. That's why, like, you know, even when you was talking earlier about me pulling up and something like just on my own, it's like. Mm-hmm. I don't got nothing but love. Right. I swear to God, man, over 25 years of professional career, I have not had no problem, and I'm everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I just been so blessed and covered and fortunate. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's what you give out.
Yeah, man.
You don't give out that. Fuck, nigga, what's up?
Nah,
you don't give out that. That's what it... Dog.
What happened was...
Nah, for real, but it's whatever's inside you, my nigga. Whatever's inside you, my nigga, you put out, my nigga, because if I'm around 100 robbers, my nigga, I'm finna put out that,
that same energy. Right.
And then whatever
you exude it,
whatever happens to you.
Right.
If you give out that, what's up, brother? I'm just internally, I'm just blessed to be alive. Hey, what's up, brother?
Right.
And you and show love, but it comes back to you, dog.
On point tenfold.
No, for real, I figured this shit out.
Right.
I dead ass figured it out. I'll still be hustling, but I figured it out.
Stop hustling. Let's keep figuring it out.
No, that's his energy, bro. I can't play that smile song, bro. Nobody can be in the whip.
Right.
I have to be riding alone for a long stretch.
Right.
And y'all, I particularly love Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Miami. Right. I always have my entire life.
Right, that's what's up.
So I got a chance to stand with the kings here, man. Sure. Whether it be Trick, Rick, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like they called on me, man. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know, I stood with the best of them. You know what I mean? So I'm solid on that.
Nah, well, let me just tell you, man. Again, in hip hop, we just want to reiterate that we have to start continuing to big up our legends. We got to tell you it right now in your face, in front of your queen's face, in front of the homie's face, that how much you appreciate it, how much of a part of your life affects all of us.
Yes, sir.
Like, I kid you not, like, when I said, yo, we got CeeLo. Everybody was like, yo, shit, who's that picky of them wins? Everybody wanted to come up and they pulled up. Look at this gorgeous, you know what I'm saying? This will come here to salute you because that's what I extol in my crew. And my crew, I don't want to tell you you were great when you were not here. We're telling you you're great right now. So when we finish this, every one of these niggas going to want a picture of you.
Everybody already did that,
no? Yep. But that's a beautiful thing, and you know that's what your energy is. Your humbleness, that is a gift, that is a blessing. There's so many people that are your stature that is idiots and assholes and hate their fans and hate the people. And it's something that I notice about you always is you're always humble, you're always down to earth, you always talk to whoever want to talk to you, and that's a beautiful thing. We're going to salute that, my brother. Yeah,
y'all continue to pray for me. You know, like,
yes,
you know, like,
of course.
You know, and protect me. You know, like, yes, with your prayers and your thoughts and your well wishes, man. Like, because yes, I do have to move around a certain kind of way, and I want to survive. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, y'all niggas keep me alive when you see me.
Nah. 1 million percent. Anyone has never told you this before in your life, I want to thank you for everything you did for hip hop, everything you did for the group, everything you did for Atlanta, everything you did for America, everything you did for your city. We want to thank you because it's well appreciated over here.
Man, you making me proud.
Nah, man. Let's take a picture. You gonna take a picture?
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's beautiful.